Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
All right, let's go back. I say go back because we were in John's Gospel chapter 14 last week. John 14, that's where we're going. John 14, we're going to talk about, maybe finish out tonight. If we don't, we'll finish out Wednesday night. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit being our teacher.
Yes.
Now, I've referenced this Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, but, you know, I allowed, when I got saved, you know, I allowed, and I'm not doing this to brag, I'm just talking about what the Holy Spirit can do, all right? Are you all with me this morning?
Yes.
But, you know, I came from a life that wasn't a good life. So did you, if you weren't born again. You know, I heard a guy say, you know, before he all of his life, he's never smoked, he's never drank, you know, never said a cuss word. Well, I can't say that. I'm guilty of all three of those plus. But, you know, if you're not born again, that doesn't make you any better than anybody else. You still need to be saved, right? So, you know, you were just a good sinner. Good little sinner. I was a bad little sinner, all right? You know, and that my life was a life, you know, I grew up as a kid in the 60s and the 70s, you know, and that was the rebellious time, the years of rock and roll and, you know, drugs and all that, psychedelic drugs and all that, and got involved in all of that, you know, and we took trips and didn't even leave the, you know, Pike County, but that was our lifestyle. I'm not glorifying it. I'm just telling you where I was at, and then, you know, God began to deal with me and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And you know, 4 months later, I'm preaching in church. 4 months. I mean, if you'd have backed me up 4 months ago, I was doing LSD, and now I'm preaching in church to people that's been saved for 40 years or 50 years. Well, what happened? Well, the Holy Spirit. You know, when you get saved, He comes in to help you. Yeah, I like that. I like the New King James calls Him the Helper, you know. Because that word for the Holy Spirit in Greek means a lot of different things. It means comforter, counselor, advocate, helper, intercessor, standby, strengthener. There's a lot of different things you could say there. He's all of that. Hallelujah. And so He came into my life and began to teach me. You know, of course, I had to be willing. I had to submit. I had to read the Bible. You know, He's going to teach you when you're reading the Bible. You know, I like to watch football. How many like to watch football? And I like to watch football, but, you know, I don't sit there watching football now. Lord, I'm just telling you, just reveal some things to me about the book of Revelation here. Well, you know, I know that He's going to do that when I'm in the book or in prayer or in His presence. I don't think that most Indiana people know that Jesus isn't necessarily a Colts fan. That hit a stump, but anyway, I didn't say he was a Patriots fan either, so, you know, chill out. But, you know, I don't think he minds us partaking of those things, as, you know, as long as we you don't leave him out. But he doesn't necessarily talk to you. You go through the book of Acts and you see the supernatural experiences that these men had, and a lot of times when they were in prayer, when they were doing spiritual things. You know, when Peter was on the housetop praying, you know, he went up there to pray. They were fixing lunch, and he had a vision. He fell over in a trance. And you'll see that while they were praying. It'd be interesting to do a study on that sometime. Actually, I taught on it years ago. I don't remember if I titled it While They Were Praying, but just went through the book of Acts and just talked about all the supernatural experiences and what they were doing when they happened. They weren't golfing. Nothing wrong with golfing. You can golf. God doesn't mind that. You know, they weren't watching TV. They were doing something spiritual. Now, can you have a spiritual experience doing something like that, golfing and stuff? Well, you could. God could do that. Absolutely. I'm not saying He couldn't, but I'm saying there's more chance you're going to get something when you're doing something spiritual.
Right.
More chance that way. And if you never do anything spiritual, you're probably not going to get anything out when you're golfing except angry, mad, and bent clubs. Amen. It'd take man to, you know. You know, my pastor, a pastor friend of mine, I'm going to tell his story. I thought it was funny. It has nothing to do with my message, but it was just funny. I don't remember it all. But he said, you know, he was talking about a place that, I forget what country it was in, Phyllis might remember, where they built a golf course right next to where, you know, there was the forest and all. I mean, it was a country that, you know, had monkeys in it. And it said, you know, they'd hit those balls, you know, golf balls, and then monkeys would run out of the woods and grab the balls and take off. Move your ball. You'd holler him, drop the ball. And he might drop it, he might not. He said, so they decided to build a fence. Well, monkeys like to climb fences. So they just climb over the fence and chase the balls, you know. He said they tried everything to keep the monkeys to leave the balls alone. He said, finally, they just made a rule. Play the ball where the monkey drops it. I mean, life's that way sometimes. You got to play the ball where the monkey drops it. Amen. That's his message anyway, Pastor Jim Crabb. You'd know it'd come from him. But anyway, you know, the Holy Spirit just got a hold of my life and began to teach me and began to train me. But I had to give myself to God. I gave myself to prayer. I gave myself to the study of His Word. I listened to other people that knew more than I did. See, that's a real key right there. I still listen to other people that know more than I do. And as you get older, you find there's more of them than you realized. I just learned this. The more I learn, the more I know I don't know. Because, see, you can be so stupid, you don't know what you don't know. When you're a kid, you don't know what all you don't know. You just don't know you don't know it. You just don't need to know it. You know what I'm saying? There's some things that, you know, that you just don't know about yet. You'll learn, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, let's go here to John chapter 14. And we read this verse last Sunday morning, but we're going to read it again, and then we're going to read out of John 16. Verse 26 of John 14, it says, "But when the Comforter, or the Helper, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you." Everybody say, he'll teach me. Now, what will he teach you? All things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he's going to bring to your remembrance the Word of God, what Jesus said. And let's just say it like this, because, you know, how many know Jesus is the Word? Isn't he? So every word in this book, you know what I'm saying, from Genesis to Revelation, that is the word that Jesus spoke. Whether Paul wrote it or Peter wrote it, amen? Those are the words, amen? So how many know we don't just live by part of the Word of God, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, the Old Testament, now there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that we don't do that any longer, like all the sacrifices and so forth like that, but they were all types of Jesus Christ and pointed to Him, and they were all necessary when we can learn from them. But there's a lot of things in the Old Testament, like prophetic words, that haven't even come to pass yet. And see, sometimes people want to forget about the Old Testament. You say, well, I get in there and, Pastor, I read all those begats, you know, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And, you know, just to be honest with you, Pastor, I just got to tell you the truth. I don't care who begat who. Well, the reason why that's in there, because that was real important in their days that you could prove your genealogy. And so they had to have that. That's why that's there, you know. But there's a lot of things in the Old Testament, you know. You say, well, I don't know, Pastor. There's just certain books of the Bible, that, you know, like Leviticus, when they talk about building the tabernacle, and this peg goes here and that peg goes there in this tempo. You know, I just don't want to know. How many ran into that when you're reading through the Bible? But see, it's all got some value to it. Amen? But there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that haven't come to pass. But certainly everything in the New Testament, that's the Lord speaking through these, through the apostles, His Word to us. And of course, we've got the Gospels, you know, where Jesus spoke. We've even got preachers today, bless their hearts, and ignorant heads that are saying you don't pay any attention to what Jesus said today. His sayings were too hard. Well, He's the head of the church. Yeah. Amen. We still listen to what He had to say. How many know we still, how many know you shall not murder, still good for today. You shall not commit adultery, still good for today, isn't it? See, the things that He said, you know, you have to rightly divide things and, you know, and so forth and all that. We don't, there's certain things that we don't do any longer because Jesus fulfilled it. All the ceremonial law and all that, we don't do that. Aren't you glad that we didn't bring, you know, some lambs here to slaughter today and sprinkle blood on you? Remember Moses took that, sprinkled blood on the book and on all the people? I mean, you left church, you had blood, you was a bloody mess. I mean, you go in a restaurant, got blood all you, where you been? Been to church. Where do you go to church at? I'll make sure I never go there, all right? How many glad that's all past? But that was all a type of the Lord Jesus Christ and how in the New Testament, in the Spirit, we'd be sprinkled with His blood. Did you know that's in the Bible? In Peter, it talks about the blood of sprinkling. We've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he calls him here in verse 26. He says he's the comforter. He will teach you. So he's a teacher. And notice, he's the one that teaches you all things. Now, you may have heard it, you know, people have said it, but it's not true. They say, well, you know, God uses sickness and disease to teach you sometimes, and He uses accidents and car wrecks and tragedies to teach you sometimes. Well, that's not what the Bible said. It says that the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. Amen. Now, I have heard people say, well, Pastor, I'll tell you what, I've learned when I was sick. Well, you can learn, but it doesn't mean God sent it. But God will use every opportunity to teach you and to bless you, right? You know, people say, there used to be a teaching years ago. I remember when I was young in the Lord. It was a teaching, thank God for everything. You got in a car wreck, oh, thank God I had that car wreck. Well, that's not what the Bible means. It says, thank God in everything. Amen. You know, like for instance, you know, sometimes we use scriptures. They sell coffee cups and they sell T-shirts and they sell plaques on the wall. You know, all things work together for good for them that love God. You know, how many ever seen that? Well, how many know that's just one scripture. You got to read the ones around it.
Yeah.
You just read that one and people say, well, you know, I got cancer, but that worked out for my good. God was using it. I lost my leg, but you know, God's working that out for my good. That was all part of the plan of God and so forth and so on. Well, you know, that's just not right. See, those people that teach that, they get into this extreme sovereignty that everything that happens in your life, it's the will of God or it wouldn't happen. God allowed it or He had some purpose in it. Well, what about when you go sin? Boy, I got quiet on that. You said, well, Pastor, I never sinned. Well, God bless you. Fly out of here, will you? Amen. You must be an angel or something. No, how many know that God had nothing to do with that? That was you and the devil. So there's just something happening in your life that God didn't have anything to do with. He doesn't test us with evil. Right? So, you know, that. Well, if God wants me, because there's people that think that way. If God wants me to be healed, well, I'll be healed. Well, listen, the woman with the issue of blood wasn't thinking that way. She said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment. See, she's talking about, I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to get out of this bed. I'm going to have to get out of this house. I'm going to have to risk my life being out in public with an issue of blood, which I could be stoned for, to touch this man's garment. The guys that tore the roof off the house to let the man down, they weren't just thinking that, well, if God wants him healed, he'll be healed. No, they thought, we got to do something here. See, like Pastor Chuck was saying in the offering time, faith has action to it. You have to do something. Amen? And if you want the Holy Spirit to teach you, how many know you got to get in a place where He can, you know, there's something there He can teach you. He said He'll bring all things back to your remembrance. Well, how many know if you, what do we used to say, jar somebody's memory? We used to use jug. I don't know if that was right or not, but I'm from Pike County. Give me a break. All right. Didn't you used to use that, Pastor Chuck?
Jar.
Oh, well. He was from a more sophisticated part of Pike County than I was, I guess. We said jug. Jug your memory. Nobody, okay, we didn't say that. I said that. All right. But you know what? You got to have something there that you were told at one time. You know, I heard a preacher say one time he had he pastored a church and he had a school, you know. Regular school for the kids. And he said, I just decided to walk through the classroom one morning, you know, just pastor just walking by and checking in on people. He said, this one young kid stopped me and said, Pastor, pray. He said, what for? He said, we're about ready to take a test. He said, pray that the Holy Spirit will bring all this to my remembrance. He asked the pastor, said, well, did you study it? He said, no. He said, well, how could He bring it to your remembrance if you haven't studied it? I mean, if the Holy Ghost is going to have, is if He's going to be your teacher, you got to get in a place where He can teach you something. Right? You know, you go into a classroom, how many know you're expecting books to be opened or something? I remember my first year, my first algebra, college algebra class on a Wednesday night. I'll never forget this. It was probably all the days I live, you know. I'd been out of school for 5 years, had been out of algebra class for 7 years, so I hadn't had any math in 7 years, you know, as far as instruction. And so I get into, I had to take college algebra, and I remember going to class, college algebra class, and I remember it was on a Wednesday night, and I remember sitting down in that classroom, and that guy, you know, he starts taking off, and the only thing I got was good evening. The rest was Greek to me. I thought, man, am I the only stupid one here? Well, the answer to that was probably yes, because the rest of them were a little bit younger and had been doing some study, but I hadn't. See, you got to put something in there. If the teacher's going to teach you, how many know you got to want to be taught? Yeah. Amen. If you don't want to be taught, if you're not hungry, well, you're not going to learn a thing. It's amazing to me as a preacher how you can preach and you can get some people that just change their life and other people that put them to sleep. I didn't get anything out of that at all. I've had people say, I didn't get a thing out of that. Well, not to me personally, about me. Well, maybe I have. I don't know. I've had all kinds of things said to me. But I've heard people say, I don't get anything out of that. I don't get. Well, hey, listen, how many know you got to be hungry? Amen. You got to work with the teacher. So if he's going to teach us, I mean, no, we got to be wanting something. And you know what he teaches? It'll change your life. Amen. It's a lot better than anything the college can teach you. Well, they can teach you things that, you know, that you might need to know here in this natural life, and that'd be good. You need to learn that and help you have a career, but they can't teach you about salvation. I don't care how much money you make. If you're not saved, it's your life wasn't very good. Right? Isn't that what Jesus said? You know, what if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What have you got? You don't got anything, do you? Pardon my bad English. Yeah, I told you I failed English in eighth grade. Anyway, but all right. We're working on it. All right. Amen. So the Holy Spirit's not using, He's not using sickness. God's not using sickness. He's not using tragedy. None of that to teach you. He's using the Holy Spirit. Now, you can learn things by going through bad things, but it's because that's the way you chose to learn it. Brother Hagin said, you know, the Lord was dealing with him one time to do a certain thing in his ministry, and he didn't want to do it, so he didn't do it. He said, then one day, the Lord said to him, He said, what are you going to do about what I told you in your ministry? Brother Hagin said, I said to him, well, just to be honest with you, Lord, I wasn't planning on doing anything about it. He said, you might as well be honest. The Lord knew. And he said, the Lord said to him, well, you'll have to or else. Brother Hagin said, I don't want else. So he got busy doing it. See, you could learn by else, but that's because you chose to learn that way. That's because you allowed. See, the Bible talks about in Psalms the reproofs of life. I'd rather have the Word reprove me than life reprove me. See, if you let the Word reprove you, life doesn't have to reprove you so often. Amen. You know, the Lord dealt with me about something years ago to do it, you know. And I didn't do it, and I didn't do it, and I ended up getting sick. And the Lord didn't make me sick. He wasn't teaching me that way. I got over on the devil's territory because I was mature enough to know I ought to obey a direct word from God. And when I disobeyed, wouldn't do it, I just wouldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. Just didn't do it. And I got sick, you know. And I tell you what I learned from that sickness. Thou shalt obey the Lord. But it wasn't God teaching me. Come on, are y'all with me? See, people use these religious cliches and they're not really scriptural. God sent the Holy Spirit to teach us. This is the best way to learn right here. Just open this book, praise God, do what it says. Amen. Amen. You know, and be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, if you're going to make decisions in life, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but don't just make them just out of your natural head. Amen. All right, John 16, go there. I got to get going here. I want to get done today. John 16, verse 12, Jesus said, I have yet many things. That's a lot of things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Remember what Paul told the church at Corinth? He said that he'd like to talk to them as spiritual, but they couldn't handle it. They couldn't bear it. See, same thing here. Why? Because, listen, these disciples, first of all, weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't living inside of them. And the Corinthian church, even though they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were acting like carnal people. So it produced the same results. So I'm just simply saying to you that you could be a spirit-filled believer, but if you live like an unbeliever or like a carnal person, the Holy Spirit won't be able to teach you, even though you have the capacity to be taught. See, Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you spiritual, but I can't. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for you're not able to bear it. Same thing Jesus just said, only Jesus is talking to disciples that haven't been born again yet. They got a real good excuse. How many know that? But the church at Corinth had been born again, been filled with the Holy Spirit, but were living carnal. And he said, I can't, Paul said, I can't talk to you that way. Wouldn't that be awful to have Paul come to your church and he said, you know, like, I've got some really neat things to share with you, but I can't share them. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Yeah. Amen. Now, verse 13, he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he'll show you things to come. I think it's interesting. See, that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he. He doesn't refer to him as a force, but he. Not some kind of spiritual thing, but he is spiritual, but not, you know what I'm saying. But he refers to him as a person. When he comes, he'll be able to teach you. Why? Because he'll live in you. You'll be born again. You know, the Spirit of God's living inside you. You've been born again. How many people have been born again? Yeah. Did you know the Holy Ghost came in you and you became the temple of the Holy Ghost? Yes. Now, here's the interesting thing. When you read this, I won't read this passage, but you could look at it later if you're so inclined to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16, Paul talks about that the eye hasn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God's prepared for them that love him. Now, that verse right there, you don't stop reading there. That was true in the Old Testament. Man hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, eye hadn't seen, neither did enter into the heart of man what God prepared for them that love him. That was true in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, now it's been revealed to us by the Spirit. See, that's what Paul said. It hadn't entered into your heart. What's he say? It hadn't entered into a natural man's mind's thinking what God has for him. Well, I understand that because, you know, I didn't realize. I thought just getting saved meant you didn't go to hell. Meant if the rapture happened, you got to go. That's about all I knew about salvation. When I got born again and I started listening to the Pastor Eddie preach at church, and then I started listening to people on the radio, you know, like R.W. Schombach, Kenneth Copeland, Brother Hagin, David Nunn, different people, you know, that I listen. You remember him? David Nunn? Yeah. And listen to him and different ones, you know, and that were in my day. Hey, my day's still going, by the way. But, you know, in my beginning days, I listened to them, and people gave me Brother Hagin's, some of his cassette tapes and Brother Copeland's, and I started buying them myself and started learning. I thought, man, I didn't know all this stuff was a part of being saved. I didn't know God would do something for you financially. I didn't know He'd heal your body. I didn't know He'd give you joy and gladness, although I should have known that, because when I got saved, I got joy and gladness. But I didn't realize He wanted you to live that way 24/7. Right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, I didn't realize He would help you and do all the things that He would do and all the blessings. And, you know, when I got into a whole new world, man, I mean, when the world I was in, they didn't talk about apostles. They didn't talk about anointing. They didn't talk about baptism. They didn't talk about being slain in the Holy Spirit. They didn't talk about the gifts of the Spirit. They didn't talk about tongues. I had to get over in this world. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about the words we use. You know, no wonder the waitress can't figure you out. What happened? Oh, we just came from a Holy Ghost meeting. You know, like Like a bunch of ministers went out after one of Brother Hagin's meetings. You know, one of them was real exuberant one time, and they were in the restaurant, and the lady goes, "Where you guys been?" She goes, "Well," he goes, "we've been to a Holy Ghost meeting." She said, "You got to wear a costume to go to that?" See, that's not their world. See, it's just normal for us. You know, like the word baptism, we know what it means. You know, baptism means to dunk, right? It's a religious word, but really, it's only reason it's a religious word is because in the King James Bible and all the other Bibles, they just left it in the Greek baptism. They didn't give you the meaning of the word baptism. Baptism is a Greek word. Apostle is a Greek word. Christ is a Greek word. But there's a meaning behind those words. See, we would have stopped wars if we'd have just translated to baptize, dunk. John the Dunker. I mean, it wouldn't have been as good, but you know, on Sunday morning, you dunk your donut. You baptize it. I baptize this donut. That's all you're doing. See, so what I'm saying is there's a lot of words, there's a lot of things that you know, there's just realms I didn't know about. But when I got saved, praise God, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, began to reveal these things. Praise God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I found a whole new world, and I found out, man, God is so rich. He is so good. He's got so many things. I was so excited. Hallelujah. I'm still excited. Can you tell? I'm still excited about my redemption. I'm still feeding every week. I still feed on healing.
Amen.
Well, how long have you been knowing about that, Pastor? Since I had Pampers on as a spiritual baby. I learned about it. I'm still hungry about it. I still read the scriptures on it. I still listen to teaching on it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was watching Brother Hagin last night preach on how to have faith in victory. Now, you know, I don't know how many years ago that was, you know, I mean, but it was a long time ago. I'm still excited about it. You mean you don't know it yet? Yeah, I know it, but I don't know it like I'm going to know it. See, the Holy Spirit knows more about that than what we've ever gotten. You know, we think, well, we know all about it. No, you don't know all about it. I remember one time I was feeling really lazy one night, you know, and I came home from whatever I was doing, and I thought, you know, I don't really feel like reading the Bible. I'm just too lazy. I'm too tired to read the Bible. I'm too tired to pray. You know, I'm too tired to read a book. I'm just going to let somebody spoon feed me. You know what spoon feed means? In those days, that meant you listen to a cassette tape, somebody preaching. So I grabbed one of Brother Hagin's, and I thought, oh, I already know this. You know, I had some of Brother Copeland's. I wrote the whole tape down just about, you know, because everything was revelation. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even turn the tape over, that's revelation to me. I got one of his old ones, you know. He says, in the beginning, God said, please turn the tape over for the conclusion. Well, is that what God said in the beginning? He listened to tapes too. Praise God. Now listen, see, I was so excited about the Word of God, still so excited about the Word of God. And I was, you know, I was like, man, I just need somebody just to feed me tonight, you know. And I was thinking about this tape of Brother Hagin's, and I thought, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought to myself, actually maybe I said it out loud, I can't remember. But I thought, I already know this, I already got all this. And the Lord, that's just a dumb statement. That shows you how many years ago that was. I'm a lot smarter than that today. I wouldn't make a statement like that today. Amen. And so, I said, I already know this. And the Lord said, there's things in here you haven't gotten yet. So I put it on and I learned two new things. And I thought, man, I thought I knew all that. I mean, the Word's pregnant with revelation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, it's the Holy Spirit's going to teach us, though. Amen. Go over to Isaiah chapter 40. And as you're going there, I want to finish talking about that 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, go to Isaiah 40. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, talking about eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those that love Him. Isn't that good?
Yes.
He didn't have to do that for us. He could have let us all just go to hell. Hallelujah. But he said, but it had, even though the natural man hadn't picked it up, it has been revealed to us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, this is the interesting part. I want you to think about this, what he said. He said, for what man knows the thing of a man except the spirit of man in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. What he's saying, I don't know what you're really thinking. Unless I could get inside of you, I don't know what you're thinking. You know, Dustin may come up to me this morning. He's got a nice tie on. He may come up to me and say, Pastor, nice tie. Now, I know he wouldn't lie, but I'm just using this hypothetically. But he might be thinking, I wouldn't wear that. I mean, you'd have to pay me to wear that tie. I don't know where he found that tie, but it must have been early Goodwill or something. I don't know. See, I don't know he's thinking that. See, what he says is one thing, but what he's thinking of. Now, if the only way I could know what he was thinking is if my spirit could get inside of him, then I'd know everything he's thinking. Well, that's what God said. He said, no man knows what's inside of a man except the spirit of man that's in him. Only you know what you're really thinking. And nobody knows what's inside of God except the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God's inside of God. And then he went on to say, now we have not received the spirit of the world. Come on, are you ready to shout? But the Spirit that is of God. Amen. That this is the reason, that we might freely know the things of God. Amen. God put His Spirit inside of us so we could know what He's thinking. See, I can't do this in natural, but if I could take my spirit and put it inside of Dustin, he'd always know what I'm thinking. No matter where I was at on the earth, he'd know what I was thinking. See? See, that's what God said. He put His Spirit inside of us so we could freely know what He's thinking. Now, He clarified the things that are freely given to us of God. What He freely wants us to have. You know, there's some things that God has reserved. But He sure has shucked the corn, man, in what He gave us in that Bible. Hallelujah. There's so much in there. Hey, we're going to be working on that a lifetime.
Amen.
Amen. You know, if you want to know what's heaven like, well, there is some descriptions in the Word, but there's a lot of things we don't know because we don't need to know it. You know, the Bible said the secret things belong to the Lord, but those things are revealed belong to us, that we just do those things, God said. Don't be concerned about what you don't know. You know, people sometimes say, will we know one another in heaven? Well, I don't think you're going to get dumber. You know one another here, right? Now, I'm going to be so good looking, it may throw you off for a while in comparison. Don't you laugh, Pastor Jerry. You're going to get some help too, brother. Hallelujah. Maybe my road needs repaved a little bit more than yours does, but yours has got some potholes in it. Amen. He's my friend. I can talk to him that way. See, Pastor, Debbie's even shaking her head. Amen. That's true. That's true. See, everybody knows it but you. But help me understand, we all going to look a little different, right?
Right.
I believe, I'm just telling what I believe. I believe our bodies are going to be, I know they're going to be glorified, but I believe they're going to be perfected. I don't know who did this. Somebody laid a CD on my chair, or Phyllis's chair, a couple Sundays ago. A DVD, yeah. And it was me preaching back in the Huntingburg. I just take that guy back. I thought, just give me him back. I'll be happy. Praise God. Look at all that hair. Just let me have him back. Praise God. That's good. That's glorified enough right now. Well, that lasts me till the new one comes. I don't know who put that there, but I sure got blessed by it. Now, all right, so Isaiah 40, are you there?
Amen.
This is a really powerful scripture. Isaiah 40, verse 12, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 12. We're going to wind down here. I don't know how long I've been going. I forgot to set my clock, but anyway, we're going to wind down here in just a little bit, but I want to read this Isaiah 40, and there's another scripture in Isaiah 48 I want to read, and we'll be winding down. Verse 12, the Bible says, talking about the Holy Spirit, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand. Now think about that. What's that saying? Well, the Holy Spirit knows, you know, all the oceans and all the rivers, all the streams, everything. The Holy Spirit can take this water in the hollow of His hand, and just by that, this is the comparison this is using. The Holy Spirit can take that and tell you exactly how much water is in the Pacific Ocean. Did you hear what I just said? That's how intelligent He is. Not just the Pacific, but the Atlantic, all the oceans, all the rivers, all the streams, all the ponds. He knows exactly how much is there. He can just put a little in His hand and say, oh yeah, well that's so many gallons. Don't tell me you think you can do that, because we're not even close, right? How many know that? with our computer, we're not even close. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, he meted out heaven with a span. Now, span's just the width of your hand. In other words, the Holy Spirit can hold his hand up there and tell you how much space is out there in space. Wow. Somebody say, wow. And notice this. It says, and he comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. Just took a little bit of dust and could tell you how much it'd take to make the earth. He weighed the mountains in scales, the hills in a balance, and asked this question, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselors taught him? I mean, if somebody like this, you're just not going to teach him anything. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him the path of judgment or justice? See, how many know he knows more about justice than all these justice warriors running around now? This book is full of justice. Amen. Amen. This book is a perfect measure. Amen. Now, he says, and taught him knowledge or showed him the way of understanding. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, or the forest there, or the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They're counted to him less than nothing in vanity. What is this saying? It's saying the Spirit of God is so vast that all this we have to deal with is nothing to him. They're in a complex problem on this earth to him. Oh, Lord, I don't know how you're going to get this done. Well, he's God. I mean, if you can't work miracles, you shouldn't be called God. You see what I'm saying? See, a lot of times people think, you know, man, this is really a tough deal. I don't know. I can't see any way out in the natural how to get this fixed. Well, you may not, but the Holy Ghost, nothing down here is complicated to him. Are you with me now? See, none of us come. And the nations are just like a drop in the bucket to him. You ever traveled across some of the country? I mean, this is a vast world we live in. I mean, I just went to Amsterdam a couple years ago, and then went from there to Uganda. And I mean, I thought, we're talking 30 hours in the sky time I get over there, flying over all these countries. To me, it's just like, this is forever. But God looks down, and the Holy Spirit looks down, it's just a drop in the bucket. Nothing. That's just to Amsterdam. That's just to Uganda. That's not counting all the other countries. Amen? All right, Isaiah 47. I'm just saying that because that's the being that wants to guide our lives. Amen. That's the being that wants to teach us. Amen. I don't care how much you know about math and science and so forth. You may be really smart. But if Albert Einstein said, would you like me to teach you a few things? I believe I'd sit and listen. I mean, listen, I know some things about the Bible. I know some things about the Word of God. I've been studying for almost 40 years. It's amazing then sinners challenge it. They haven't even cracked the Bible. I get challenged sometimes by sinners. I'm thinking, man, this is what I've been doing for a living for 40 years. And I don't say it to them, but you think it, and you're going to challenge me? You don't know a thing about it. You're not even born again. And some of them, you are church people, but you don't even open your Bible when you go to church. You don't even bring a Bible to church because your preacher doesn't use a Bible. What do you need one for? You don't even open it at home. You don't know nothing. See, this is the Spirit of God. He is so far advanced of anything on this earth, and yet He wants to be our teacher. Amen. I think we should listen and take time. Amen. Instead of just going through our files trying to figure it out. Who was it that said, you know, they went through the file and go through the file and finally it dawned on them, it's not in there. You know, trying to think about how to fix a problem. Have you ever done that at night? Don't lie about it. Lay there at night and wrote, how am I going to fix it? So you did it three nights in a row. What did you come up with? Nothing. Well, guess what? It's not there. Now, I understand if it's a man and you're looking for something in the natural, it might be there. I'm notorious for Phyllis saying, it's over there. And I'll look, it's not there. I couldn't find the sugar. We moved in this house a few years back. I couldn't find the sugar for 4 months. 4 months before I found the sugar. You know, I keep a little sugar boat because I put sugar in my coffee, you know, a teaspoon in my coffee, you know. I don't drink it black. And so she would always fill my bowl because she knew I didn't know where. You know, she'd keep refilling. She'd see it was low, she'd refill it. So I didn't need to know where the sugar was at. And then one day she forgot to fill it, and I need sugar. And it's like, where's the sugar at? She said, it's in the pantry where it's been for 4 months. You bypass it every time you go in there to get your Oreos. She didn't say that, but she could have. It was that far in front of me. And I was going by it almost every day to get in the pantry. But I wasn't looking for sugar. See, that's the thing about a man. We're focused, man. Come on, ladies, give us a break. We're focused. We got focus. We're just looking at the one thing. Amen. So, you know, she'll say, well, it's in this drawer. And I'll go, well, it's not in that drawer. And she'll go, oh, it's that right over there. Oh, well. Amen. But how do you know the Holy Ghost? He knows where it's at. You know, you're going to think I'm nuts and maybe you'll write me off after this, but it's the truth. I was working. We had a house where we lived at, one of them. I went out on the back, you know, and I was changing the light bulb, you know, in the outside light. You know, you had to take the screws out and pull the globe off, you know. And those screws were rusted. They were like brown looking, rusty. And up by the house, grass wasn't growing there. So it was like dirt there, you know. And I dropped that screw in that dirt and I hunted and I hunted and I hunted. I could not find it. So you know what I did? I prayed. I said, Lord, you know where that's at. Show me where that screw's at. God is my witness. As soon as I said that, I looked down and right there it was.
Amen.
So I got it, put it back up in there, and being the man that I am, I dropped it again and lost it again. I'm not making this up. This happened. And I hunted. You know, I could go through the files of the night, hunting and hunting and hunting. Can't find it. I hunted. And I thought, I'm going to do that again. I'd hate to bug God again, but God, guess what? That screw you helped me find, I lost the thing again. And there was a thundering voice from heaven said, if thou losest it again, thou art on thy own. No, I'm teasing. I prayed. I really did. I prayed and I said, Lord, show me. And God is my witness. I'm not making this up. I looked down and right there it was.
Amen.
This time I made good and sure I didn't lose it this time, because I didn't know if God would bail me out the third time. He might have just said, go get your wife. Now, Isaiah 47 or 40, 48, are you there? All right, come on. Give me a little bit of time this morning. We'll let you go after this, but I got some things to share here. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord thy God, which teaches you to profit, which leads you in the way that you should go. Now I want you to notice, see, if the Holy Ghost is teaching you, guess what He's going to teach you to do? He's going to teach you to profit. Your life's going to profit. Your life's going to be better than it is now. It's going to be richer than it's now. You're going to have more spiritually. And I guarantee you also have more in the natural if the Holy Spirit teaches you. Now, I want to do this real quickly. Give me just a few more moments here. Amen? Can I have 10? All right. I got a couple people said yes, at least, so I'm going with that. Amen. I want to give you three sets of three, okay? Three sets of three. These are three sets of three that will help you to receive from His teaching ministry. All right, here's the first thing I want to talk about. I'm going through them fast. Three things that will help you receive. This is three things that will help you receive from the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry. Number one is faith. How do you know it takes faith for anything in the kingdom to operate? You have to have faith in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe He'll help you, then it hinders Him from helping you. Jesus couldn't heal in His hometown because of their unbelief. Number two, you need to vocally recognize Him. What do you mean by that? Well, listen, I talk to the Holy Spirit. I ask for His help. Now, I don't pray to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, right?
Right.
But I don't pray to Pastor Jerry or Pastor Chuck, but I talk to them. I don't pray to you, but I talk to you. I don't pray to the Holy Spirit. It says, pray in the name of Jesus to the Father. So I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. But I talk to Him. Holy Spirit, come and help me. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Right. Didn't they call the Holy Spirit the helper? We may boldly say it. So I say it. Thank God you're my helper. See, in other words, if you ignore His ministry, it will grieve Him. If you ignore Him like He's... See, what happens if you ignore your spouse? It grieves them, right? Number three, you need to create an environment for Him. I take this out of Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, which says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks unto God and the Father for all things through Jesus Christ. See, what does this mean? Well, what you're doing is you're creating an environment that the Holy Spirit likes to be in. Amen. See, there's certain environments He likes to be in, and He doesn't like to be around. He loves them, but He doesn't like to manifest or be around grumpy people. Come on, grumpy cat, get over it. Come on, you guys aren't cultured. How many are cultured enough to know who Grumpy Cat is? The internet sensation, you know, that cat with the frowny face? I think he died. Yeah. Yeah, he did. He died. His attitude got him after a while. Holy Spirit couldn't help him because he's too grumpy. All right, come on. Yeah, I think Grumpy Cat did pass on, you know. All right, so I'm just saying to you, so you have to have a joyful, thankful attitude about you. That way the Holy Spirit, you know, you'll be under His influence. See, it's quiet in here because people don't really believe that, but it's the truth. The Holy Spirit wants to, that's why He said that's how we're filled with the Spirit. What do you mean filled with the Spirit? Well, He'll manifest more in your life if you have a joyful, thankful attitude. If you're always complaining and griping and moaning, and I know things aren't always right, but see, a thankful heart, it concentrates on what it has, not what it doesn't have. All right, three areas we're not supposed to be guided by. All right, listen to this. Three areas we're not supposed to be guided by. Number one, you're not supposed to be guided by yourself. Jeremiah said, I know that the way of man's not in him. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. So we're not supposed to guide ourselves. In other words, we're not supposed to just make our decisions in life. Talking about those decisions that affect your life. I don't think God wants you to pray every time, whether you're going to, you know, Fazoli's or Olive Garden or what's this restaurant some of you worship here in town? What's it called? Los Bravos. Some of you worship at the altar of Los Bravos. Oh, holy taco. Look how serious they took me. That was called a joke, folks. Laugh at my jokes, all right? That's one good way to stay in my good grace. But, you know, some of you like, you know, I mean, I said something about, you know, something about they wasn't the best restaurant, wasn't always the best Mexican restaurant in town. Some things it's the best one on certain things. But I made that blanket statement and the tithe went down and everything else. And so, this is a joke, everybody. But some of you really, really like Los Bravos. I know that, all right? I do too. And it's a great place. Now, number two, number one, we're not supposed to be guided by ourselves. Number two, we're not supposed to be guided by our flesh or our emotions. Hebrews 4:12, think about it, says that the Word of God divides between the soul and the spirit. See, there are soul decisions. Soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. How many know your mind, your will, and emotions tells you what you want? But your spirit tells you what God wants. See, God communicates with your spirit. Now, how many know, listen, I've said this for years, emotional decisions won't stand the test of time nor weather the storms of life. Has anybody ever made an emotional decision and you got stuck with something you wish you hadn't? I give you this example, an example. I've never seen a puppy I didn't want to bring home. I like animals. I mean, if I lived out in the country, no one around, you would not believe how I would build an outbuilding that's heated and air conditioned, and that's for my dogs and cats and whatever else I decide to let come and roam. Because I love animals. And that would be their home, you know. They could live in there, man, just chill out in the summertime. Oh, man, it's 95 out, but man, it's 72 in here. Hallelujah. We got a good owner, you know. You know the difference between a dog and a cat, right? You've heard that before, right? You feed a dog, you pet a dog, it licks your hand, looks up at you and worships you and says, you must be God. You feed a cat, pet a cat, it looks up at you and says, I must be God. There's a huge difference. Number three, we're not supposed to be, and this is important in our day, we're not supposed to be guided by the devil or his agents. See, all this rise of mediums and psychics and spiritists, that is forbidden for us believers. God has forbidden us to seek spiritual guidance or natural guidance from any other source than Him. He refuses that. He forbids that. And so don't be going and reading your horoscope. You don't need to know. Because you may think that's a plaything. Listen, that's not plaything. Chinese fortune cookies are playthings. Those are printed in a factory and stuck in there. And if you don't like what you got, you can eat another cookie. But, you know, some of this stuff is the real deal, man. I'm telling you. You need to stay away from it. Now, some of the psychics on, you know, the call 1-800 or 900, this is 900. Some of those read off a screen, but there are real ones. But that is something God forbids us to do. So don't even go there, right? See, you know, a lady brought a lady to me one time to pray for, said she hears voices. She was a medium. She hears voices that tells her things. And she knew this wasn't right, so she brought her to me. And she said, now Pastor Pearl is going to pray for you, and he's going to tell you where those voices are from God. And so I just asked the lady one question. I said, are you born again? She said, no. I said, then they're not from God. Amen. See, they're not from God. Don't follow those. Number three, finally, did you get something today?
Yes.
Three ways His teaching ministry will stay strong in your life. How many want His ministry to be strong in our life?
Yes.
Number one, by fellowship, by spending time. See, anytime we're spending time in the Word or we're praying, the Holy Ghost is involved. He's the teacher. So we're strengthening that. The Bible calls it the communion of the Holy Ghost. One of the things I found out is this. Praying in tongues is a great way to receive His wisdom. Why? Because the Paul said you speak mysteries. Divine hidden secrets is what it really means. So you're praying out. See, the Bible says when we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. Well, let me know. The utterance He gives us is going to be the perfect utterance.
Right?
It's the perfect prayer. So I've learned that I can find out anything if I'll just take time to pray in the Spirit long enough. See, the Bible calls God in Hebrews chapter 12 the Father of spirits. He's not the Father of your flesh. Your parents created your flesh by the union that they made. But that flesh can't live if God doesn't put a spirit in it. God's the Father of spirits. He wants to communicate with your spirit. Paul said, the Amplified Bible says, when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit by the Holy Spirit prays. So it's a direct communication. Number two, we keep His ministry strong in our life by holy living. Paul said that in the last days that some, even in the church, well, actually he was talking about the church, he said some in the last days would depart from the faith, and he said they would sear their conscience with a hot iron. What does that mean? It's no longer tender. See, if you keep living disobedient to the Word, you get hardened.
Right.
See? And when your conscience gets hardened, then the Holy Spirit can't hear you, or can't speak to you, or you can't hear Him is what I'm trying to say. Like, you need to. See, anything that defiles you will dull your senses spiritually. See, Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, he said, there's a lot of things I'd like to tell you about Melchizedek, but he said, you're dull of hearing. He didn't mean natural ears. He meant spiritual ears were dull. He said, you need one to teach you again. See, they had regressed. All right? Number three, and this is it. His ministry stays strong in our life, His teaching ministry, by associating with right people, places, and things. You need to be particular. We try to win everybody to the Lord, right? But association means communion, close fellowship. You don't close fellowship with people that will bring that will bring you down. You may try to win them to the Lord. You may love them. Amen. I mean, people want to use this thing, well, Jesus ate with sinners. Well, of course, they came to him and ate with him, and he was trying to minister to them. But that wasn't his close associates. His close associates were his 12 disciples.
Right.
See? What about places? I mean, you got to watch where you go. There's certain places that will defile you. You know, a pastor friend of ours one time told me, she and I didn't mention this to this person, what happened, but a pastor friend of ours said to Phyllis and I one day about another pastor that said, I like to get my messages ready in a bar. That's real edifying to know that your pastor is the message he preached on Sunday morning, he got it ready in a bar. Now, I mean, there should be red flags going up immediately. It's like, why do you want to be in a place like that? Why is that conducive to you hearing from God? Something's wrong with that, right? Now, I'm just making a point. Y'all looking at me kind of mean, but that's all right. I'm going to get Pastor Jerry up here, and he can really make a mean face and get you back in your place. But you understand. There's something wrong with that. Now, when I heard that, I thought that pastor's days are numbered because he's associating with wrong places, right? Right? You know, I mean, if God sent you in there, if he really sent you in there to witness to somebody, that's one thing, but you don't hang out there. You go in there and get your job done and get out. And I'd be very watchful and make sure that was absolutely God before I'd ever do that. Years ago, years ago, we're talking about, you know, the turn of the 19th century. Years ago, there was an old Assembly of God preacher named Peter Cartwright. I heard the story about him. Some of you heard of Peter Cartwright? Brother Cartwright was an evangelist, and he traveled and preached places. And he said, I think he rode a horse. It was that long ago. And, you know, there wasn't, you know, you didn't have hotels, you know, all over the place. So a lot of places where you stayed at, they were above a saloon or a bar or something. And so that's the only place to stay. And so he stops at one of these places. He's going someplace to preach, and he goes to get him a room. And the lady, he said she was nice. The story said she was nice. You know, he said, you know, Mr. Cartwright, tonight we're going to be having a dance, you know, at 7 or 8 o'clock, and would you like to come down and join us? He said, well, no. And so he went up to his room. He said he said later that day, as he's praying, the Lord said, go down there. He said, so I wait till they got going good, you know. He said, about 8 o'clock, I could hear them going good. He said, I walked down there. He said, when I come down there, he said, I saw them out doing what they were doing, you know, drinking and, you know, just being worldly, you know, like sinners do. That's just what sinners do, right? And he said, you know, this young lady came up to me, and those days she bowed over and like, you know, you want to dance? And he grabbed her hand, and he said, no. He said, before I dance, he said, I always pray before I do anything. So he began praying real loud. God, save these heathen. He began praying for them. He had his eyes closed. He said he heard things hit the floor. Pop, pop, pop. He said, in a little bit, the little lady that had all his hand, she fell on the floor. He looked up, and they had all been slain under the power of God. Did you ever hear that story about Brother Cartwright? Yeah. All of them were out on the floor under the power of God. They all came too. He got them all saved. Now, if you can do that, we'll let you go. All right? So you got to associate with the right people, place, thing. Now, here's what I was going to say. This minister, I just saw just last week where, you know, he pastors a large church, but he's under an organization. The organization had to remove him because of moral failure. I'm not being critical. I hope he gets things straightened out. But I'm just making a point. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not criticizing. Anybody can make mistakes. But I'm making a point. When you hang around in the wrong places, wrong things get off on you. You pick up those spirits, amen. So, and things. What about things? Well, you know, we need to hang around things that are godly. Can you say amen? You know, the movies we watch, you know, should be godly, right? I mean, I know, you know, I'm not, listen, I know John Wayne isn't always godly, but he isn't demonic. There's a huge difference. He isn't demonic. I mean, he'll shoot you and pray for you. Come on, how many remember Red River? Remember I saw Red River? You know, he's trying to take those cattle to Kansas or someplace. I don't remember where he's taking. He's taking someplace. And people try to stop him. Man, he ain't having none of that. He just shoot you, kill you. Then he'd go get his Bible out of his... Remember that? He'd go get the Bible out of his saddlebag and he'd bury him, you know, him and Moe. Remember Moe? And he'd bury him, you know, and he'd read over him. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's more like the Lord giveth and John Wayne tooketh away. But anyway, you know, and he kept doing this throughout this movie. You know, Indians would come and he didn't have any. He'd shoot him and kill him, bury him, you know. Robbers come, he'd shoot him, kill him, bury him. And finally, Moe, the sidekick, he goes... You know, he said, I can't understand the guy. He shoots him and kills him and buries him and brings God in on a partner in the killing. Well, you know, the thing about it is movies like that, you know, they're not demonic. But there's demonic stuff out there that are just pushing. See, there's a big difference in John Wayne, who had honor, integrity, did what was right. You know what I'm saying? I mean, well... He did kill a few people that maybe he shouldn't have. But, you know, we all make mistakes, even John Wayne. But my point is, a lot of stuff today has a demonic, anti-God, anti-Christ message. You want to watch that and stay away from that. Yeah, my wife said, don't watch that. You know what I meant by you want to watch that? That means you want to stay away from that and don't watch it. All right, you get something today? Let's all stand up. Come up, Jill, if you would, please. Thank God for the Word, and thank God for the Holy Spirit.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.